Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys look good.
You too, Pastor.
I kept this far away. This morning, we had a smaller crowd, but we had a good service. Today, we're expecting a good service now. We're going to start out with prayer. And there are several unspoken prayer concerns within our church. You know, as well as I do, these unspoken prayer concerns are serious and unspoken ones, which is not one to speak of. So let's go to the Lord and pray. And remember to pray for somebody around you and with you by name. Our Father Almighty, what a blessing it is to be with you today, right here in the presence of God. Voice of our hearts, our burdens, our praises to you. Knowing, Lord, that as we pray, you hear our prayers. You react to us, Father. You touch us, guide us, teach us. Sometimes we say no. We know it's from a loving Father. We thank you, God, who you are, and thank you who we are in you. We pray, Lord, that as we go through this worship now, that you would be glorified with us. Our hearts would be in tune with you. We would seek you, draw closer to you. Pray, Lord, that as we read the Word of God, that we receive your instructions as we pray, that our prayers would be from our hearts. We would receive you, hear what you have to say to us. I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody in here today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they give their life to you. Lord God, we just thank you for our sanctuary, that we can meet back here with the air conditioner going and not have to be out in the car in 90-degree weather. Thank you, Lord, for the music, the ability to sing to you. We clap, Lord, it's for your honor and your glory. Lord, now be with us as we open up your word. Give us your wisdom, your thoughts, your correction. Lord, we'll give you praise and glory because we know it's all from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Every time I read God's word, it speaks to me a little bit different. Does the same with you. Exodus 19, verses 1 through 14. But take it home with you and study Exodus 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Boy, I'm sure excited you know that. Starting in verse 1, Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special treasure to me of all people that are all the earth that is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord God commanded. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord spoke, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and will leave you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. shall set bounds for all the people around, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, he shall surely be stoned and shot with an arrow, whether man or beast. He shall not live, and when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. The title of this message is Prepare to Meet the Lord. And I'm not talking about prepare to meet the Lord for the second coming. I'm talking about prepare to meet the Lord right this very moment. And as we prepare our hearts, realize that God's message to Moses, as he brings that message back to the people, is his instructions of how to approach the throne of God. So these are words, these are thoughts coming straight from God's mouth to Moses, from Moses to the people, from the people to us. This is really relevant today as it was then. These are instructions, I want to repeat that. These are instructions from God and how to approach God. And God knows something that they didn't know. Of course, we know it because we have the Bible, but it won't be very long until God will give the Ten Commandments. So I think he's prepared their hearts. This is how you approach me. This is what I expect. This is what I actually demand of you. And later on, we'll give you these Ten Commandments that will be game changers for you. They're going to change the whole world. In fact, they're still changing the world today. So the Lord teaches today how to approach the throne of God. The Bible says they were 3 months out of the Egyptian bondage. They've been in the Exodus part for 3 months. They have already experienced the red part of the Red Sea. They've seen how God has provided for them, provided meals for them, just taking care of every need that they have. But God knows a lot more than they do. He knows that even though he's done certain things for them, it's not going to be very long except they start being disobedient. And they start pulling away from God. They start complaining, the Bible says, murmuring, the Bible calls it. God knows that they're going to have an ungrateful heart. It won't be long until that happens. So this is what I'm expecting of us. He's expecting this of us as well as the Israelites back then. Approach the throne of God as I give you instruction today. So God also knows that they're going to leave that first love. They're going to leave God for a while. And that reminds me of the time when God speaks to the church in Revelation. We've left our first love. Let's be careful and make sure that by all means we don't leave our first love. Things happen in our life, all sorts of stuff that can cause us to take our eyes off of God and put it on the problem at hand. As we do that, we leave God out of the problem. He can sure cure any problem we go through. So don't leave first love. Be careful of that. It takes a lot of work, in fact, to do that. Paul Powell, one of my favorite authors, tells the story of a well-known preacher from years ago, and his name was Carter Jones. Carter had a small room in the attic of his home that he used as a place of prayer. When he was especially burdened, he would make his way up to the winding staircase to that room to spend some quiet moments with God. The members of his family knew that when he went to that attic room for prayer, they were not to bother him under any circumstance. Has any of you ever set a place aside in your house just for you? Lord, and when you go there, you really don't want anybody to bother you. I do that every morning. Mother's got her place, and we don't bother each other. The phone's ringing, and we don't answer the phone. We do our quiet time. That's what this man, Carter Jones, just had a holy place to go. One day, under some heavy burdens, he climbed the stairs, went into the room, and knelt beside the chair to pray. But he hardly started when the door swung open, and there stood his little girl. The moment his eyes met her, she knew she had done wrong. She knew she shouldn't be there, but she said, Daddy, you've been so busy lately, I haven't seen much of you. I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And with that, she threw her arms around her father's neck and gave him a big old hug and wheeled around and was gone as quickly as she had come. Still on his knees, Carter wiped a tear from his eye and said, Father, I've been so busy lately that I haven't had much time for you. I just want to tell you. tell you today, I love you. Ever been like that, too busy to really tell the Lord you love you? You read the word, you're interested in finding an answer for your problems, and you just kind of get self-confident in our own self. But forget about God sometimes. That's what leads our first of all thoughts, forgetting God. Paul Powell asks, that's what Christ wants from all of us, unless we say it as well as feel it, to show it as well as confess it. And if we do not love him, then he wants to be loved. He wants us to show our devotion by our commitment, our callousness, and our confessions to him. And then he goes on to write, there's not a believer who here whose fellowship with God is exactly what God wants it to be. God wants you to feel it in your heart and to know it in your mind and to live it in your life. And he wants you to be right with God. And you can be if you listen to the instruction of God of how to approach his throne. He's going to give us the instructions of how to do this, how to serve God, how to please God, how to apply the Word of God to everyday life. So let's start this lesson. Instructions of how to approach God and realize these are God's thoughts. These are God's thoughts he gave to Moses, straight from the Bible. How to approach the throne of God. The first lesson is found in verses 3 and 4. So let me read those again. Exodus 19, verses 3 and 4. This is how to approach the throne of God. It's written for us through Moses by God. And Moses, the Bible says, went up to God, and the Lord called Moses from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, to the people, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and know, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. First lesson of approaching the throne of God is to tell God, to praise God for things he's already done for you. Does that make sense? For the blessings of life, however old you are, you've been blessed, 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 blessed. How often do you thank him for all those blessings? This is God's instruction of how to approach him. So as we approach him, God wants you to repeat back, remember what he's done for you. And I wrote down some things, and I read them to some of the ones in the first service, and as I read them, I watched eyes. You know, I'm always watching people's face, their eyes. And there's a couple of here that maybe they were hurtful, and I didn't mean for them to be hurtful. But to those of you that have these, it's a way to remember God. So if it doesn't apply to you, don't get your feelings hurt if you're not experienced in this. Number one, I said, and this was one that gave some a little problem. Looking back, thanking God for what he's already done for you. When you remember what he's done for you, if you have a good spouse, remember that to the Lord. That's not meant to hurt anybody's feelings because some of you have experienced not so hot spouses. But if you have a good spouse, what a joy that is. What a great blessing that is. I thank the Lord for my spouse. She's been the rock of our house for so many years. Thank you, God. I thank the Lord for her every single day. I have a good spouse. I'm very grateful for a good spouse. Y'all can call her up and tell her. Now hear me. Don't get your feelings hurt. If you have a good spouse or had a good spouse, remember that to the Lord. Does that make sense? Steve, do you have a good spouse? You better shake your head. Shake it hard. If you have a job, thank the Lord. Remember that he gave you that job. I didn't say good or bad job. I said if you have a job. Thank God for that job. The money that you make, it may be greater, it may be just a little bit. It's just enough if the Lord is behind you. If you've eaten any meals in the last several days, thank the Lord for provisions of life. Sometimes I look at the food that we fix at home, and we're millionaires if you consider the amount of food that God has been so good. Thank you, Lord. can have a roof over your head. How many of you are homeless? So we've got no homeless people, so if you have a roof over your head, remember that to the Lord. He's allowed you to move into here wherever you've got that roof over your head at. He provided it for you. And that's what God is asking of us, to approach Him, remembering what He's done for us. Give Him praise and glory for it. If you have Jesus in your heart, salvation, remember that to Him. Thank you, God, for my salvation. If you have a good church, thank Him for your good church, because there are some churches that are not so hot. Thank you, God, for a great church at Hillcrest Baptist Church. We've got a good family here. We've got a good minister here. We've got good everything. God has blessed our church. Thank you, God, for a great church. Thank you if you attend Sunday school and you've got a Sunday school teacher. Thank the Lord. Remember the Lord that you have a Sunday school teacher. I've been pastor of a church, a first church. We didn't always have Sunday school teachers. Sometimes we'd have to double up the classes because nobody would do it. Nobody would teach them. Let me tell you, those teachers would spend a lot of time studying. Remember that to the Lord. These are instructions from God how to approach Him. First of all, remember what I did to the Egyptians. Remember what I've done in your life. Remember how I took care of you. And here's the deal. God calls Moses to meet the Lord up on the mountain. God is leading Moses. So it's not just because Moses wants to go up there to hear from God. God leads him. Come up here to the mountain. I need to tell you something. And Moses hears, thus saith the Lord. These are God's words. These are God's instructions. They're not just for them, they're for us too. There's realer days than were back then. So Moses hears, thus saith the Lord. These are God's words coming straight to Moses' ears. And he hears what God has to say. Comes down and now we have it in book form. Moses goes back and takes what he heard from the Lord and he tells the people. That's back then he told the people, but today he's telling you and I. This is Moses who God speaking to us. Remember, Hillcrest Baptist Church family, what I've done for you. And then the last part of verse 4 is just fantastic. I brought you to myself. Think about wherever you're at right now. God had just told you, I brought you to me. This is God's words, even not mine. It's not my opinion. It's right here, verse 4. I brought you to myself. If you remember what I've done for you and follow my instructions of how to approach God, I'm bringing you to myself. So keep on going to look at the second instruction, how to approach God. It's in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth are mine. The second instruction of how to approach God, the first one was, remember what I've done for you. The second one is two parts, obey my voice and keep my covenant. And a covenant is an agreement. It's a binding. It's like you sign a contract. God's made a covenant with His people, and God expects us to obey that covenant. And He's placed these requirements, these stipulations, in front of us so that we'll understand how to approach the throne of God, how to be in His presence. But that covenant has an if clause in it. Now, here it is. This is really important. Has an if clause in it. If you do what I tell you, if you obey my voice, then you'll be a special treasure to me. But if you don't do what I say, if you don't obey my voice, then you miss out on being a special treasure to me. Think about that for a second. If you obey my voice, Jesus says, God says, you're going to be a special treasure to me. The flip side of that is if you don't obey my voice, then you can't be a special. So I'm thinking about this as I prepare this, and I'm thinking about all those people today that would fail that test. They do not obey the Word of God. They've heard the Word of God, but they don't obey it. Sometimes we pick and choose things that we like. God is telling us if we hear His Word, if we hear the covenant that He set before us, and we obey it, we'll be a special. special treasure to him. But if we don't, can't bar the door on that one, we just failed the test. But let me give you some encouragement here. If you have Christ in your heart, he helps you overcome the negative part of that. There's not a single one of us in here that hasn't broken God's word, hasn't lived up to what God expected. Nobody. But then when you get Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he goes and speaks on your behalf to the throne of God. The Bible tells us in several books of Hebrews that God is continually, Jesus is continually going to the throne of God and making intercession for us. So when we don't obey the word of God, if we're outside of God's will, Jesus is still making intercession for us. If you're a child of God, if. Think about all the people that heard this agreement, this covenant with God, that were told to obey it. And they didn't. About all the people that didn't make the promise, man, because they failed to heed the word of God. The third lesson is to make sure you have someone to receive the instruction from God. And then when they hear what God has to say, they go to the people and tell God what he said. And then that person waits for the people to hear it and respond to it. And then after they respond to it, that person takes it to the Lord and tells them how they responded. Did that come happen anywhere close to right? You've got to have a person to go to God and hear what God has to say. And then he takes what God says and takes it to the people and explains it to them word for word. And then he lets them hear it. And you respond, yeah, you're not here, or I don't like that, or this, or now you respond. And that person takes it to God. And that's exactly what Jesus does for us, as he makes intercession for us. He brings the Word of God to your heart through the Holy Spirit. He is the Word of God. He knows what God's thoughts are. He knows how we are to approach God. And he tells us. And as he tells us, mostly he tells us by this, but he also tells us by this. Sunday school teachers tell you, moms and dads tell the children what God says, and then we hear it, right? And then we respond. And if you respond in a negative way, then you just pay the consequences. But the deal is, Jesus hears how you respond, and if you do respond in a negative way, he goes and makes intercession for you to the Lord. I don't know how he does that. I don't know what he says before he does it. I know it's good. It's perfect. The Lord Almighty, God is holy. He cannot put up with our sin. Jesus is holy and perfect. And he cleanses us from our sin. He makes us presentable to God. That's a big dead deal. Do not explain that to the children. If you know anything about changing oil in a vehicle, you got an oil filter, and you change the oil filter because as that oil circulates, the oil gets dirty and gritty and crummy for the motor, and then you put an oil filter on it, and it filters all that crud out again, and you're mechanic. Am I right there? Well, that's what the cross does. That's like a filter. Right before the cross, our sins goes to Jesus, the filter. He filters out the crud, and it goes up to the Lord. He sees the perfect. He sees us through Jesus. And I sure thank the Lord for that. He's my sin filter. And I thank him that he's your sin filter as well, because we've been lost without him. So let's keep going. Last lesson. These verses, how to approach God. In verses 10 and verse 14. Verse 10 says, the Lord said to Moses, now hear that, God said to Moses, thus saith the Lord, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And then verse 14, so Moses went down sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. God has just told Moses to consecrate them, to separate them from their sins, to help them separate themselves from their sins. We do that by asking forgiveness to Jesus today. Lord, I did this again. Anybody ever pray about that? I've done it again, Lord. Forgive me again, Lord. I've done it over and over and over. Sometimes I hate it when I have to go to Lord for the same sin over and over and over. I just hate it, but I continue to do it like Paul. Do things more, not do the things I know all to do. But anyway, Moses is told to set them aside for their sins, consecrate them to God, and then wash their clothes, make them pure. That's what Jesus does for us. He sets us apart from our sins, and he purifies our soul before the Lord, and then sanctify them, set them apart. Where are people that are set apart for God? Jesus sets us apart. This is a binding religious sanction for us. The covenant of God sanctifies us and consecrates us to God and purifies us from the Lord. We're free from sin with a purified heart because of Jesus. We're cleansed, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness, and we're made holy. So today I want you to think about yourself and how we prepare to approach God every time we come to this sanctuary, every time we come to prayer meeting, every time you open up your Bible. How do you prepare yourself to go to God? God has just given us instruction. Remember what I've done for you. So that's a pretty good place to start when you prepare to meet God. Give Him praise and glory for all the blessings of life, the little bitty old blessings, the big blessings. Praise and thank Him. Remember all the way back when we were first married. Thank you, God, for my spouse. Thank you for the meals that we've eaten. And even the... I'm just about sitting over there, so I can tell you this. Y'all need to call or tell her about this. Back, probably, I know it was before we had kids. I wanted her, or she wanted to fix curry chicken. Have you ever had curry chicken? I might like it now, but what she fixed, I did not eat it. I took a bite of mine. But here's the deal. I even remember that to the Lord. I thank Him for the mistakes that we made because we learned from the mistakes. And I think that's what the deal was saying to that. Every single meal, thank the Lord. Remember what you're doing for you. Remember your job. Remember your church. So sure about video, thank you. But isn't it great that video can go out and tell me the instruction of how to approach God? Thank you, God, for the instruction, for making us holy. Why don't you read the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1? Show you the importance of Jesus in our lives. You know, every single one of us fail and we're prepared to meet God. We're not very good at living a sin-free life. We're just human beings created by God. We were created in His image, but we also have the Adam part of us. But Jesus is perfect. Listen to how we're to live through Jesus in verses 13 through 19, 1 Peter chapter 1. Heading in my Bible is living before God our Father. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Watch this thing up here. Be careful what goes in, garbage out. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. As you open up the Word of God, if you're living in sin, I guarantee you, if you're a child of God, He'll convict you of something. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. In other words, before you were saved. But as He who called you, as Jesus who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And then verse 17, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear or in awe, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct. precious blood of Jesus Christ as Lamb without blemish and without spot. See how important Jesus is for us? We were sinners before we got saved. The blood of Christ, Jesus can go to God and say, this is my child. He's a work in progress, but he's holy because I'm holy. He's confessed my name. He's accepted me as his Savior. I'm teaching him. I'm instructing him. And God sees us through the cross, through Jesus. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm so grateful. My heart is all the joy that Jesus died for you. He died for you. Personal question. Is Jesus in your heart today? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know without a doubt that if you died right now, you'd be in heaven just like that? You'd be with the Lord Jesus Christ for your coming. Some of you are shaking your head, yes, I'm sure about that. But we all ought to be able to do this. I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I know without a doubt I'm sinful. I've got Jesus in my heart and I know it. The Bible tells us without Jesus you're not going to see the Father. Because it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through the blood of Jesus, through the cross. You just can't do it. Are you sure, sure that you have Jesus in your heart? And if you have Jesus in your heart, this whole message is for you. How to approach God. He's talking to you. Remember what Jesus did for you. Hear his word and obey it. Be holy because of Jesus' name. Let's pray. Almighty Father, Lord, thank you for this day, your blessings, your love, your grace. Thank you for the past of this church, the now of this church, and the future of this church. Lord, I thank you for the people here today. Know, Lord, that future, maybe 50 years from now, there's going to be a whole different generation of people here that will be carrying on the work of God. We'll have the same Bible, we'll have the same instructions. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, today, if there's anybody that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would take time together and say, dear Jesus, I need you in my life. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Lord, let them be assured to know that you will do exactly that, your Savior. Father, I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus.